providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these last two segments, we are going to focus a bit more on the resource and precious metals sector as we are chatting with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor and senior editor over at the Gold Eagle website. Now, Christopher, one big picture concept that we've been chatting about with you for a while now is this Dow to gold ratio, or just even carrying it over general U.S. equity markets to gold. Now, this ratio, for the most part, if you want to look back over the last, let's say, 7 to 8 years, this ratio has been, well, kind of trading sideways for the most part. And that's dealing with a few runs in gold, a generally run in the Dow. But again, overall, we have gold close to all-time highs. We have people excited about the gold sector, but it's not really making a difference when it comes to comparing it to the underlying U.S. equity markets. What do you take away from that whole concept of gold bull market? But you know what? It doesn't attract more investors if it's not outperforming.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Corey. And thanks for having me back on the show again. We are looking at a Dow to gold ratio currently trading in the 16 level. And so it's costing 16 ounces of gold to buy one share in the entire Dow Jones Industrial Average. And so the anomaly that we've been living through here as precious metals investors over really the last 8 years, actually since the 2015 low, is that even as the gold price has nearly doubled from basically just over 1,000 per ounce to over 2,000 per ounce as of a few months ago, the ratio between gold and the Dow, that relationship has moved straight sideways. I mean, in November of 2015, December of 2015, right as gold was bottoming at 1,045 per ounce, the ratio was exactly the same as it is today, 16 ounces of gold for the Dow. So I think that sideways motion is an anomaly. If we look back at either of the two previous bull markets, both in the 1970s and then in the 2000s, when gold had those extremely strong moves, you know, we saw the Dow to gold ratio that entire time in both those bull markets compressing in favor of gold. So gold outperforming the Dow. You know, we have no examples of history of a sustained bull market like we've seen here over the last 8 years with gold and the Dow basically matching one another. The only constructive period for gold that I can turn to in history is to look at the recovery rally that happened from 1985 through 1987, where gold moved from its low around 275 up to above $500 per ounce, nearly doubling. In that window, the Dow to gold ratio moved sideways. That was a much more brief window, though. It was only a couple years. You know, and that window, if we think about it from history, did represent sort of a bear market rally for gold. So I think investors need to think about this very carefully. You know, gold itself is still in a bullish consolidation here. We have the third attempt that has just happened to break this 2075 window. Typically, there are no examples of long-term triple top patterns. That would be a very rare thing to see. You know, so gold itself is still bullish here for the next 12 to 24 months. It's more a question of after that breakout to new all-time highs, what is the message of the Dow to gold ratio? What is it foreshadowing here for us?
I think it's a great point, Christopher. And when you look at the general equities and how generalist investors have really remained steadfast in them for the last dozen years, really since the great financial crisis from 2008 and 2009 forward. When you look at even the recent rise in gold and to a lesser degree silver, things are set up pretty well in the metals, but the mining stocks just aren't getting the same kind of love that they used to. And so one question that we've kind of pondered is, when you think about the TSXV back in the day, it was the place that people went to speculate on doubling or tripling their money. But what we saw after the advent of cannabis stocks, crypto stocks, meme stocks, tech stocks, growth stocks, it seems like generalist investors aren't as interested in coming back to this space to speculate because, to your point, the general markets have done just fine. Do you think that's a fundamental sea change in the precious metals mining stock space?
It could be, unfortunately. You know, so we just talked about the reason why the generalist investor has not been in the precious metals sector over these last 8 years in the same way that they were in the 1970s and the 2000s. Then when we look, Shad, at what you are referring to here, which is the more speculative bid, you know, that person who, and not just the speculative bid, but the anti-fiat speculative bid. The investor that, let's say, is going to take $5,000 or $10,000 and they're saying, hey, I want to try to double this, triple this, 10x this, right, over the course of a year or two. In past cycles, that was very achievable in the small cap gold and silver miners. You know, when you had gold moving after the global financial crisis, when it bottomed at $700 per ounce, when it moved up to above $1,900, nearly tripling in about 3 years, you had a lot of these junior mining companies that did 10x, 15x over the course of those 3 years. There really was not a competing class. There was not a competing anti-fiat speculative class of assets for investors to look at. And now there are, let's admit it, infinite cryptocurrencies for people to throw a few thousand dollars at. So I think between the Dow to gold ratio moving sideways and that new category of anti-fiat asset class, it accounts for a lot of the lackluster performance that we've seen in the speculative, the exploration and development stage companies, unfortunately. I still think that there is an opportunity here over the next 18 months for them to have a sizable rally. We did see in this cycle two significant rallies here since 2016. The first was in the first half of 2016. A lot of these companies had major moves, 5x and 10x off the lows. That was following the low in gold in late 2015. The second wave of speculative interest that we saw was the first half of 2020, following the panic of the coronavirus. A lot of these companies had 5x moves off those lows. So it does seem like there is something of a four-year cycle here setting up. I would say if there's a window for these companies to have, let's say, a third nice rally, it seems to be setting up here over the next 12 to 18 months.
Christopher, what do you take away from the fact that even during those last rallies, or even the last time gold got up to this $2,000 level back at, let's say, 2012, 2011, GDX has continued to top at lower levels. The stocks just haven't gotten up to those highs. Yes, they've outperformed in a short-term basis, but big picture, longer-term chart, they're making lower highs.
Yeah, this may be a signal here that after gold makes new all-time highs, whether it's later this year or whether it's in 2024, to reiterate, the gold chart itself, when you just step back and look at the gold chart, that is a bullish-looking chart. We see three attempts at 2075. We see a false breakdown that happened Q4 of last year. You add those things together, that is a consolidation that looks like it wants to resolve to the upside here within the next 18 months. But as you said, Corey, when you look at a lot of these data points that we've been just referring to, and this latest one, which is how the GDX, the senior gold miners, continue to make lower peaks as gold is consolidating itself in this sideways consolidation, I think what that sets up is that after the last rally in gold to break to new all-time highs, that may end up representing a cycle top for the sector to last for some years. So investors want to stay really on top of what sets up late 2023 and basically the entire calendar year of 2024. They want to stay really on top of this. That signal could be setting up to be a significant multi-year topping signal.
Well, Christopher, when you look at the performance of GDX and GDXJ putting in the series of, let's say, lower highs, even just over the last couple of years during this consolidation from the summer of 2020 to present, it does seem like there's less and less volume, less and less interest in some of these basically producers and largest of the developers. That's what's in GDX and GDXJ, some of the royalty companies, but mostly producers. We keep hearing the narrative that it's because of inflation, that inflation has compressed their margins, which is absolutely true. It has. But if you think about where the projection on your rectangular consolidation down to that false breakdown last year extrapolates out to, let's just say 2,500, 2,600-ish area, if that's where things peak out and there is an inflation component that's eaten into the margins of these companies, is that enough of a move in gold? And if silver was to break up to 30s, is that enough of a move in silver to really juice up these mining stocks in a big way? Because if you adjust their cost for inflation, $2,400 gold isn't the same thing as it would have been, let's say, 10 years ago.
Yeah, we will see something in that move. That something could be either a moderate move or it still could be quite a spectacular move. It's interesting how the sentiment can really shift when you get breakouts to new all-time highs. Of course, there are no guarantees in the markets. It could be a decent move setting up there. But I don't think that the inflation story, as you've discussed, Shad, is the sole cause of the underperformance, even in some of the senior miners. You know, I'm looking right now, Newmont Mining, one of the largest gold miners in the world, is kind of bumping along 52-week lows here. You know, some of the other larger cap companies are threatening to break down. I look at Pan American Silver. It's not holding up so well, bumping along those 52-week lows. In my estimation, the reason for the underperformance, yes, that inflation is there. It is impacting the bottom line. I'm seeing that in a number of companies that I follow that are having their mining costs increase, their labor costs increase, et cetera. But I also think that talking about this big picture, it has to do with the valuations. You know, the stock performances here have to do with the valuations that investors are assigning to these companies. And this goes for the producing companies as well. You know, whereas in previous cycles, we may have seen ounces of reserves, proven and probable reserves, selling for $300 to $350 an ounce in companies that had, let's say, a 10-year mine life remaining. We're seeing in the marketplace now proven and probable reserves sometimes selling for $100 per ounce, you know, whereas the underlying bullion is the same price as it was when we had those higher multiples, let's just say 10 years ago. So the difference in valuation is simply a function of, hey, what price level is the market willing to assign for reserves in the ground or production in the ground? We can talk about that too as a multiple of market cap. And so this certainly trickles down to the development stage companies where we see in the previous cycle, you had measured and indicated gold in 2009, 2010, measured and indicated gold selling for $50 to $100 per ounce in the ground. Right now, I can list a number of examples of companies measured and indicated gold selling for $5 to $10 per ounce in the ground. So yes, inflation has hit the miners, ironically. Here, as the market has attempted to discount the inflation in the future. So in other words, we've seen the inflation negatively impact the miners' operations, but we've not seen the market re-rate the products of the miners, which is the metals themselves. Metals themselves have been attempting to discount the inflation in the future, so the miners kind of getting squeezed from both sides. This is what happens in the investment world sometimes. If it was easy to make a fortune investing, everyone will be doing it, right? We're all here because we are attempting to navigate basically uncharted territory for the global stage that we live in.
Do you think innovation could actually help bring some more investors in here? Almost in the sense how we saw innovation in battery technology and even green technology bring some other commodities into the spotlight. Could companies start doing something else? Could something happen here that would in a way, innovate, update this generally old gold and silver space to increase investor interest?
I actually think that is what we are seeing the foreshadows of. I think that this industry is going to change dramatically within the next 25 years. There are a few possibilities for that on the horizons. Perhaps it has something to do still with incorporating conventional mining methods, but updating the technology for drilling, discovery, LIDAR penetration of the ground, airborne surveys, et cetera, et cetera. Perhaps it's something like that, but perhaps it's something even more dramatic. We could talk about the possibility within the next 50 years of being able to mine minerals from asteroids. Or perhaps it's something as crazy as the futurists would have us believe, where we are literally getting into the realm of alchemy, of being able to rearrange molecules at the atomic level and create new minerals or new substances that can take the place of minerals. Perhaps. I'm not saying that's going to be anytime soon, certainly not in this decade, but perhaps the underperformance of the traditional miners, as we're talking about it in the charts here and the valuations, is foreshadowing that these minerals are going to remain critical for society going forward. But as a species, maybe we're on the path to discovering new ways to actually synthesize these things or extract them from places previously considered impossible.
Well, Christopher, while most of the theme of this discussion has been definitely longer term and, you know, big picture, let's dial it back down to like more of the near term for investors that may be stuck in the summer doldrums here with us, a little disappointed that maybe their junior mining stock portfolio isn't responding as much as they'd like to the metals price. But maybe just recap, you know, since you have a nice subscriber base at iGold Advisor and you write on Gold Eagle, what would your advice to people be that are in this kind of tough sentiment period with the outlook that we still have 18 months of a bull market that could unfold and still be pretty profitable for investors? What would you tell investors in this environment?
Yeah, you've got to wait until gold breaks out to new all-time highs. And we have to judge that breakout when it occurs. I mean, as a precious metals investor, you always, when things get complicated and there are a lot of bifurcated, crisscrossing waves of thoughts and rumors, what you do is you take a huge step back, you clear everything off your desk, and you pull up a single chart. And that single chart is the price of gold bullion. That's the leader. Everything else is related to gold itself, the 5,000-year store of wealth. So when we do that and we take this giant step back and we look at gold, I reiterate that gold itself is still in an intermediate term bullish consolidation here. It's been consolidating for the last 3 years. Yes, sentiment has gotten worse as gold has merely moved sideways because most speculative investors simply are not interested when an asset class is moving sideways. It's actually more, you actually have more interest in a sector when an asset class is falling precipitously than when it's simply moving sideways. Because when it's falling, people are saying, whoa, you know, what's going on here? Is there an opportunity? We've been in this grind for the last 3 years, but with the caveat that there was this false breakdown late last year. And so we look at the three attempts to break to new all-time highs with a false breakdown on the most important chart for the entire precious metals sector, physical gold. And what I'm saying is, on a highest probability, that is a bullish consolidation that is still underway. So my strong expectation is that either later this year or into 2024, gold has one more significant rally coming up. I would have a measured target based on the widest part of the consolidation that we've been in here for the last 3 years. I would have a measured target of slightly above $2,500 per ounce. That could happen relatively quickly after gold breaks out. I think some people forget that from the low in November of last year to the peak in April, let's call it a 6-month move, gold moved $460. So $460 in 6 months, it could absolutely move another $460 in 6 months after breaking out successfully. You know, so if the breakout is going to come, let's say by the end of this year, it could very well be this time next year when we're talking that gold is in that mid $2,000 range. Could overshoot my target by a few hundred dollars, could undershoot my target by a few hundred dollars. But just to reiterate, when I look at the gold chart itself, I think that's what investors need to keep in mind here as we certainly are approaching these summer doldrums here and we just see certain companies kind of drift lower and have some struggles, or we see drill results come out or company developments come out and the market uses any news as a selling opportunity. I just think you need to remember gold is still in a bullish consolidation here. Everything that I look at tells me that gold itself has at least one more significant rally to come after it breaks out. And investors will want to be tuning in to the host of global signals that are developing as gold breaks out to discern whether or not that breakout move is the final move of the cycle that began in late 2015. And so therefore, whether that's an opportunity to be taking a lot of profits, chips, positions off the table, or whether or not some sort of a more complex move is setting up that could take it higher than my base case scenario here. But when we talk about just the gold chart itself here in these summer doldrums, that's what investors want to keep in mind. That chart is a bullish chart until proven otherwise, and then we have to judge it as it is breaking out.
All right, fair enough. Great comments there, Christopher. Absolutely. It's one step at a time watching what happens here, at least over the last about 8 to 9 months. It is a more bullish setup. But again, I think need to always keep our expectations managed with just how high the gold price or even the silver price could go, especially when you compare it to those bull market runs of the 70s or the early 2000s when gold just went screaming higher. We're hearing a whole lot of less calls for $50,000 gold, but I think that would definitely draw in some investors. But again, that's, look, it's one step at a time. And first thing first is to get to some new all-time highs and see how investors react to that. But hey, Christopher, it's great chatting with you. I really appreciate your insights. I value your insights. So thank you very much for spending time with us on this weekend show. And everybody, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. Shad and I will be back full time next week. So make sure you keep in touch with Shad and I. And, well, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.